Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Good morning. Man, it is so good to see you guys. I got to tell you that just based off of social media, seeing how many people were out of town and how many people were sick, I really thought I was going to be preaching to an empty room today. So thank you guys for being here. Hope you guys had an amazing Christmas, and very honored that you're here today. My name is Rob, and I'm one of the pastors at Next Level Church, and I would love to invite all of you to participate in what you're about to hear by opening up an app called YouVersion, and it's a free app that you can download. The steps are up on the screen, but it's a chance for you to engage a little bit more with what you're about to hear. There's a place to take notes. You can give prayer requests there. You can give online. There's a question of the week, and for this week, there's a poll that you can take in there. So some fun things in there as well. Well, today is a little bit of a special day for us in that today is a day where we get a look back over what God has done in our church over the year 2015, and it's also a chance for us to look forward to 2016. And this is something that we've done over the last 3 years. Our church will be 4 years old coming up in 2016. And every Sunday, every year, on the last Sunday of the year, we spend some time looking back. And one of the traditions that we have with this service is we do an acoustic set of worship for the last Sunday of the year. And one of the main reasons we do that is because of the very first service we ever had. Now, some of you know the history of our church. Some of you were there on our very first thing that we've ever did. But for some of you that are new, you may not know the significance of that very first service. We had an interest meeting, and it was in February. And the goal of this interest meeting was to meet at a house. I thought there was going to be about 15 to 30 people. We had a house picked out. Well, by Thursday of the week of our meeting, we had over 90 people who had asked to come to this interest meeting. And so I had to quickly find a new place for us to meet. And I had called a pastor that I had never met, but I'd been to his church building. And the church was called Riverside. And I asked him if there was any way that we could meet at his building on Sunday night if they didn't have services to have our interest meeting. What we didn't know at the time was that the building that our first interest meeting, which is this room, it was in here, we had no idea that one day God would give us this building and this would become our permanent home. At the time, it was just a big ask. It was asking someone for a favor and saying, hey, I know you don't know me. Literally, I left a message on this pastor's voicemail. I said, you don't know me at all. I have an interest meeting. I was supposed to meet at a house, but I've got 90-some people coming. Can you help me out? And he was so gracious and let us meet here. It snowed that day, that night that we had our interest meeting, which was pretty cool. But leading up to that meeting, the reason we had a worship set is I didn't want our very first meeting to just be about business or just to be about some facts. I really wanted Jesus to be the core of everything that we did. And so at our very first interest meeting, which was literally me just casting the vision for this new church that was going to get started in our area, we had some worship. And it was one of the most amazing worship experiences I've ever had in my life. But even the story of how we got worship was a God thing. I don't know how many of you guys know this story. I don't know how many of you have heard me say it. But our worship pastor, the guy with the beard that was up here, he's a guy that I've known since he was in sixth grade. When he was in sixth grade, I was a senior in high school. And I felt led to, I felt called to ministry. And as soon as I felt called to go into ministry, that my youth pastor put me in charge of a Sunday school group of sixth and seventh grade boys. And Stephen was in that Sunday school class, and that's where I got to meet him. In fact, I later end up getting put in charge of the middle schooler of the middle school area of our church, and I recruited Stephen to help lead worship over that area. And back then, Stephen looked something like this. We have a picture of him. I looked exactly the same, so we don't have a picture. We don't have a picture of me. But here's the part of the story that is a complete God thing. After I moved on, went away to college, and Stephen eventually moved on from that church and went away, our paths kind of crossed a couple times in a small town called Farmville, Virginia, is where I was a youth pastor, and Stephen ended up meeting his wife in Farmville, and we kind of had some connections and some kind of crossover and a few meetings, but for about 10 years, we didn't have a lot of interaction. And one day, I got an email, and the email simply said, hey, Rob, you know, it'd be great to catch up sometime, but I'm getting pretty serious about blogging, and I would love to meet with you over lunch sometime to simply talk about blogging. And I love to blog, and it's a passion and something that I love to do. And so I said, yeah, it would be great to connect with you. It's been a long time since we've, like, really talked and had a connection. I would love to meet with you and talk about blogging. He sent the email out, though, around the holidays, so we had a handful of weeks in between when we could get together, and we set this meeting out for like 2 or 3 weeks from when he sent the email. And little did I know that the day of our meeting, where we were going to meet for lunch to talk about blogging, would be the day where I was given my 2-week notice at my job to go pursue this church plant that I'd been dreaming about. And so I show up to this luncheon, and I'm just kind of shell-shocked. Like, I don't have a job. Like, I don't know. I'm about to start this church. Like, we have 6-month-old kids. Like, this is just crazy. And, like, we didn't talk about blogging at all. We ended up talking about a church plant. And from that meeting, which at the time seemed like a chance encounter, it was a God thing. It was a divine meeting where we got to talk about church planting, and we got to rekindle this friendship that we had. And from there, I asked Stephen if there was any way he could come on a Sunday night to our very first interest meeting, because I wanted to be focused on Jesus, and I wanted to have a chance where we could worship and not just hear information about this new church. And so they came, and it was an incredible experience. And this is what we're going to do today. We're going to simply look back. I'm going to share some stories. We're going to talk about the good things that God has done and talk about some of the struggles. And today, then, we're going to end with looking at the future and looking forward to 2016. But before we get into any more of that, I would love to give you a chance to simply just talk to God and just to pray and just say, hey, God, would you speak to my heart? And I don't know what your year was like in 2015. Maybe some of you are here and you're like, God, you know, my year was awful and I don't even know if you exist. Like, I had a few things that I was asking you for and you just didn't deliver. Or maybe you were coming off a hard time at Christmas, or maybe you're coming off an awesome time. I don't know what is going on in your life, but this is the cool thing about God. God meets you where you're at. And so I want to give you a chance to simply talk to God and ask him to say something to you, to speak to you in a personal way. Would you guys take a few seconds to pray, and then we'll dive in. God, we ask that you would speak to our hearts in a personal way. We ask that you give us the courage to obey you no matter how difficult it is. Thank you, God, for what you've done in our lives and what you're continually doing. And God, we just ask that you would do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine coming up in 2016. Thank you for being an amazing God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, our text that's going to drive our conversation today, it was written by a guy by the name of Isaiah. And if you were here last week for our Christmas services, I mentioned Isaiah. He's a pretty important guy. He comes on the scene 700 years before Jesus, and he writes down some things that were some prophecy that the people of the Israelites, the Jews at the time, they held on to his prophecy, specifically the one about a Messiah coming to deliver them. They were in some trouble. And I want to tell you, the trouble that they were in was not something that they couldn't prevent. They could have prevented a lot of the trouble they were in. They were in trouble because they constantly made some really boneheaded decisions. Now, I don't believe that every time you go through a difficult circumstance, it's your fault. Sometimes you go through difficult things, and you have no control over it. There's nothing you could have done to have stopped it. It is because we live in a fallen, broken world. Just stuff happens sometimes. But there are times when we go through consequences, and the consequences based off our decisions that we make. Thankfully, we have a God that is a God of grace and picks us up and embraces us during those difficult times. But sometimes you make decisions, and it's the wrong decision, and it's over and over again. And even though God forgives you, and even though God restores you, there's still consequences to your decisions. For example, on Christmas Day, I ate like it was going out of style. I celebrated the birth of Jesus royally. He wasn't eating, so I ate for the both of us. Like, and I paid the price for it. In fact, the next day on Saturday, I went to the gym to CrossFit, and I am totally a huge believer in grace, but what I got that day was judgment. It was wrath. It was painful. It hurt. And the whole time I was doing it, I just thought, I deserve this. This would have been a lot easier if I would have made better choices on Christmas Day. Sometimes the consequences that we face are because of our bad decisions. And that's what's going on in Isaiah's day, that the whole people have rebelled against God and they've made constant bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. But in the midst of their trouble, Isaiah speaks out some truth to give them some hope to hold on to. And let's look at what Isaiah says. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 16 through 17, he says, this is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. So here's what's going on. In the midst of an incredibly difficult circumstance, God reminds the Israelites of the way that he's delivered them in the past. You see, this isn't the first time that they've gone through a difficult circumstance. Years before, they were in slavery in Egypt, and God delivered them from slavery, and they thought they were running away from all their troubles and thought they were going to this promised land. But before they could get there, the Egyptian army comes out and it tries to attack them. Now, this is a group of slaves. They don't have a lot of weapons. They don't have a lot of hope. They are stuck between now a Red Sea, a huge body of water, and the Egyptian army coming up on them. And they need a miracle, and God provides. And if you've ever seen the movie The Ten Commandments or Prince of Egypt, you know what happens. The waters part, the Israelites walk on dry land to the other side, and when the Egyptian army follows, the waters crash down on them. And God is reminding them that in the midst of a difficult circumstance, he provided. And right now, they're going through a difficult circumstance, but they need to remember that God is a God who provides. In fact, I believe with all my heart that every difficult situation is a chance for God to deliver you. Every difficult situation is a chance for God to deliver you. Every difficult situation. And I don't think that God causes every difficult situation. I don't think that there is a reason for every difficult situation that you go in. But I do know that at times when there's a difficult situation, it is an opportunity for God to deliver you. And this is why when you go through a great victory, when God does something and you feel like, oh, that's awesome, and maybe you've even said the words praise God, when you go through something amazing, it is important that you write it down somewhere. Because there's going to come a time in your life when you're going to go through a difficult circumstance again. And you need to remember that we have a God who delivers, who comes through, who is there for us, who helps us in difficulties. And if you don't remember it, you're going to be sitting at your current situation and saying, this is so big for me, I can't overcome it. This is such a mess, I can't clean this up. And you'll forget the way that God has delivered you in the past. And so God is speaking through Isaiah, and he's saying, hey guys, I want to remind you that I've delivered you before. I delivered you in some big circumstances, some circumstances where you thought your life was over. I came through, and I made a way. I don't know what your 2015 looked like, but there were some difficult circumstances that shaped 2015 for us as a church. And a lot of the difficult circumstances you guys didn't even know about. You didn't even know all the things that went on behind the scenes or some of the growing pains and struggles that we had. What I want to do, though, is I don't want to just focus on the negative things or the difficult things that happened. I want to focus on the positive things, because in the midst of some difficult circumstances at our church, we saw God do some amazing things. And some of the difficulties that we experienced as a church actually came out of really good things. They were things that we didn't plan on or we didn't expect necessarily to happen. But one of the things that made life a little bit tense and a little bit more difficult is that our church grew by 100 people in a year. That meant that we went from 2 services to 3 services. That meant that, okay. that meant that we went from about 50 groups to almost 90 small groups. That meant that our kids went from about 50 to 60 kids to almost 100 kids. I mean, every area grew. And so that stretch, and I just want to tell you, that as far as being a leader and a pastor, this was one of the most difficult years I've ever experienced in leadership. And it was all good things in the aspects of growing, but it was stretching and it was difficult. But in the midst of difficult situations, I want to look back and see what God did. Because God did some really cool things. In 2015, as a church, we were able to baptize 25 people. And yeah. And that's significant because one of our core values at Next Level Church is disciples disciple. And simply what that means is that if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're a Christian, then it's your goal to love other people. And you don't just love people because they're good to you or love people because they can do something for you. You love people, period. And you love people well. And if God gives you an opportunity to love someone so well that they want to follow Jesus, you then, it is your responsibility to teach them what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And so discipling includes baptizing. It's the last thing that Jesus told us to do, to go out through all the nations and baptize people. And we were able to baptize 25 people. Now, here's something that I think is pretty cool. Let me just give a quick little caveat, though. I'm not in the business of comparing us versus other churches. I think there's a lot of great churches out there. I love a lot of great churches. My family actually went to go to a Christmas Eve service at another church. So what I'm about to say is not a comparison game. I just want you to see, because sometimes when you're in the midst of something, you don't understand exactly what God is doing. The average church in America baptizes 6.6 people. I don't know how you get a 0.6, but 6.6 people in a year. In a year. And that includes the mega churches that are all around America and everything. If you take out those churches and you just take the average church in America has less than 100 people. It averages 80 people and baptizes 1.2 people a year. And God did something that we cannot explain or we cannot take credit for. God brought people in because you invested in them, and we were able to see 25 people get baptized, and we were able to see people join our church and our mission. We had some fun in 2015. It was a year where we were able to have some fun and enjoy ourselves. I don't know how well you guys remember the series that we do, but back in May, we did a series called LML. Anyone remember what LML stands for? Love My Life. It's an acronym, and if you remember that series, that was a challenging series because everything that I was teaching, it was like coming to life during that series. It was, things were falling apart, fishes were disappearing, my tire got slashed by a knife. Like, I mean, crazy stuff was going on. And in the midst of that series, we had a little bit of fun. We interviewed some grandmas and asked them if they knew some famous web acronyms, some things that you might see a lot on the internet. And even if you remember this video, if you were here, then I think you'll get a kick out of this. Check it out.
Oh, my goodness.
PTL.
PTL.
I don't know what that is.
Pay the lady.
Pay the lady.
Well, that's what they used to say.
Oh, okay. That sounds
but
good.
That's not right.
Oh.
It's praise the Lord.
Oh. Okay.
Personal.
Personal something.
Training leader.
PTL.
And I would say praise the Lord.
Oh, oh okay. Well, we were really off.
R-O-T-F-L. Are we supposed to know these?
I do. I know it.
Okay. Well, if you know it, you tell it, because I don't.
No. No, you say it.
I don't know. R-O-T.
Don't you, isn't that on your internet? Don't you ever read your internet stuff?
Yeah.
Don't you ever see it?
No.
R-O-T-F-L. Diana, do you know what that is?
I have no foggiest idea.
I don't either.
R-O-T-F-L. T-F-L, rolling down the floor. Rule of the last street. Rule on the last street.
T-T-Y-L. T-T-Y-L. Take the...
A train.
Y-L.
Sorry.
Take...
Oh, talk to you later?
Oh, yeah.
Talk to you later.
Take the what?
Yellow lily. I mean, make it up.
T-T-F-N.
Talk to.
T-T-F-N.
Talk to friends later.
T-T-F-N. I can't.
This. I. For love.
Okay.
Take time for love.
But it ends with an N.
Talk to
friends now.
Talk to friends now. That sounds good.
Talk for that.
Oh. It could be baby bath, a book.
BRB.
Be right back. Be right back, BRB. Right?
Sounds good.
Be ready.
Bible school.
Okay.
In August, we did a series called Core, and it was a chance to look at our core values and to kind of cast some vision for our church. And we wanted to have a little bit of fun with our core values. I didn't want to simply just tell them. I wanted to do it in a way that would be a way for us to remember them. And so we came up with this ridiculous idea and ended up making a video to help us all remember our core values. I think some of you guys will remember this. Check it out.
Thank you. If you're having life problems, I can relate to you, son. I got 99 problems, but my church ain't one. I got a hoopty car that's falling apart, 0 to 60 miles in an hour or so. I've had a dad bod since I was 12. Even when I look at carbs, I start to swell. I'm a Lakers fan since way back when. Today they play like to win is a sin. I get real bad gas when I eat a burrito. Used to have hair, now I'm Danny DeVito. House falling apart like the money pit. Don't know the difference between a screw or drill bit. Writing every day so my blog would grow. Down to one reader cause my mama followed. Joined CrossFit and learned to burpee. The amount of weight I lift is less than a pea. I've got lots of issues, but I ain't dumb. I got 99 problems, but my church ain't one. Hit me. 99 problems, but my church ain't one. If you're having life problems, I can relate to you, son. I got 99 problems, but my church ain't one. Hit
when
me.
When I walk in church, my problems seem few. Cinnamon rolls on fleek, telling you. We got parkers that smile while they wave me in. Greeters at the door, all they do is win. We got a prayer team, they talking to the Lord. Ushers with flashlights, you can see the floor. Cops and kids love coming to church. Hold on to your claim tag, you'll be in a lurch. Guest services are meeting new faces. Production crew is taking us places. Our student team ain't afraid to get messy. Wear your shorts to church, we ain't real dressy.
You got six core values, let me name a few. Authenticity matters, I am telling you. Disciples, disciple, yo, that ain't new. Can't live life alone, that's just what we do. Three more core values, no need to wallow. Seek God first and the rest will follow. It's God's kingdom, not ours, so don't be sore. Gotta be owners and not spectators.
Listen to me if you've been on the fence.
It's time to love Jesus, love people, and make a difference.
No church is perfect, but we ain't dumb.
We got 99 problems, but our church ain't one. Hit me. 99 problems, but our church ain't one. If you're having life problems, I can relate to you, son. I got 99 problems, but my church ain't one. Hit me. 99 problems, but a church ain't one. If you're having life problems, I can relate to you, son. I got 99 problems, but my church ain't one. Hit me. 99 problems, but a church ain't one. If you're having life problems, I can relate to you, son. I got 99 problems, but my church ain't one. Hit me.
In September, we were in a series called The Best Decade Ever, and we made the most ridiculous video we have ever made in our life. I can't even say anything else about it. You just need to watch this. Check this out.
He always gets his man, and he'll zap you any way he can. Zap! is a friend of mine.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
He loves me when I'm right. He loves me when I'm wrong. He loves me when I waste my time by writing silly songs. He loves me when I'm quiet and I have nothing to say. He'll love me when I'm perfect if I ever get that way. Jesus is my friend.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
I have a friend in Jesus.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is my friend.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
I have a friend in Jesus.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Our mission at Next Level is to love Jesus, love people, and make a difference. And a huge part of our church is the Make a Difference component. Each month, we focus on a different way to make a difference, either locally or globally. And our strategy is not to recreate the wheel. We're not inventing new ways to make a difference. We're simply going to organizations that are already making a difference in the world and saying, hey, how can we help you? How can we support you? And so each month, we partnered with someone to make a practical difference. And in January, we collected over 250 winter weather items and gave them to the homeless in our area in the 757, which was pretty cool. In February, we prayed for and helped raise funds for two mission teams. We sent one team to Peru. This is our first time going to Peru. I think we have a picture of our Peru team. Come on up. There we go. That was our Peru team. They were able to do dental work and to tell many people about God's love, which was really cool. We also sent a team to Haiti, and we have a picture of that team as well, which that was cool. Now, here's a little bit of the backstory about Haiti that many of you didn't know and didn't know the difficulties surrounding our trip to Haiti. Our trip to Haiti, the week that they were supposed to go to Haiti, like the week before, on Sunday, here in our during our third service, our breaker out back, we heard this big pop, this loud pop, and we went to go check it, and it had caught on fire and put itself out at some point during the third service. And so for the week of going to Haiti, we had no power at our building, and we had many volunteers, including one of them, Jason Etheridge, donated a whole week of his time away from his job to help rewire new wiring all the way through our building. It was a mess. And so that's going on the week that we're supposed to send this Haiti team. And one of the leaders of that Haiti team during all this, his mom ends up having to go to the hospital, and so he has to pull out of the Haiti team to go to Houston to go be with his mom. Thankfully, she ended up being okay, but he still had to pull out of this trip and lose the money he put down for the Haiti trip. The day before, our team leader, his wife, passed out and had to be admitted to the hospital, and so he had to pull out of this trip. So the day before the trip, we had to find a new leader. Thankfully, Crystal Carter, who is on our staff, she stepped up and led this team. But there was all sorts of drama that was going around this Haiti team the week of it. And we sent this Haiti team out minus two people that they were counting on, expecting to be there. But God did some amazing things. And it was just a reminder that in every difficult situation, it's a chance for God to deliver you. Every difficult situation is a chance for God to deliver you. And I would have never planned or asked or even had hoped that the way that our Haiti team was sent out, it would have gone down like that. There was so much stress and so much drama around this. And yet God provided and God did some amazing things in the midst of it. In March, our church hosted a winter shelter for over 70 homeless people through a great organization called Port. And this is a great way for us to give back. In fact, in 2016, in March, our church will be doing this again. And it is an amazing way to give back. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but there are zero homeless shelters in Newport News. Zero. There's none, okay? There is one that takes in men only, but you have to be a part of their program in order to get off the streets. So right now, when the weather is hot like this, you know, it's okay, but coming up in January, February, it's going to get cold, and the homeless don't have a place to stay. And so Port provides shelter for the homeless through local churches, and they rely on support like ours to feed the homeless and to hang out there at the shelter. And so in March, we're going to be doing that again this year. In April, we celebrated our birthday, and we had a big goal. Our goal was to raise $5,000 to gift an ark full of animals. And there's an organization that sends these animals to underprivileged countries to help them sustain their own life. It gives them animals that they can become farmers, and they can start raising the animals. Some of them, they provides food. And it's an amazing organization. We set a goal of $5,000, And in April, you guys went above and beyond, and we brought in $6,395. So we were able to give more than just one ark. We gave, one of you is really excited about all that God's doing. Thank you very much. In May, we collected 2,175 pairs of shoes to give to the homeless in the 757. And this is a big thing. If you're ever looking for a practical way to help the homeless, they're on their feet a lot. And two of the main things that they need are socks and shoes. And it's something we forget about. We think, okay, we just need to give them a meal or give them a few dollars for food. But literally, if you could provide clean socks for them, because their socks get wet, they don't have a way to dry them out, and then they wear out their shoes quickly. And most people give donated old shoes, and so they when they're new to them, they're old. They're already worn in. And so providing shoes was a huge relief to many of the homeless in our area. In June, we donated $1,626 to support emergency relief efforts in Iraq for those who have been affected by ISIS. This still is a huge need, that especially women and children, their families have been ripped apart. And in their country, in a lot of places, women don't have a way to provide for their family. And so the husbands have been killed or taken off. And so we gave money to help support these families who are looking for a way to survive and to educate their kids. In July, we collected over 7,000 school supplies to meet a need at Tyler Elementary. And that was such a God thing, because that 7,000 supplies is still being used by Tyler Elementary today. In fact, they have enough that when a kid comes and says, hey, I don't have the basic necessities, they're able to pull from the storage of the supplies we gave them, even right now, and help meet needs. So that's pretty cool. In August, we raised awareness for companies that give back. And we try to be incredibly intentional at Next Level. We're not a perfect church. We don't have all the answers. We don't do everything right. But we try to be intentional. And some of the products that we showed that month, in the month of August, are products that we use as a church to give back. Here's the idea. If you're going to buy something anyway, you might as well buy something that makes a difference in the world. That was the idea of August Make a Difference. And so two of the companies that we learned about, one was Thistle Farms. And Thistle Farms is an amazing organization that takes women who have been in sex trafficking or prostitution or even addicts and provides a job for them. And one of their jobs is making soap. And so when you use the restrooms at Next Level Church, you'll see Thistle Farm soap that is made by women who have been pulled off the street and given a new life. Another company we learned about that month was Phoenix Roasters. If you like the coffee that we have at Next Level, it is by Phoenix Roasters. And the idea of Phoenix Roasters is that people need more than just a handout. What people need is something significant to live by and to make some money on their own. And Phoenix Roasters provides a fair wage for those that make the beans for our coffee so that they can actually provide for their family. And they also, some of the proceeds for Phoenix Roasters goes back to make a difference in areas like homelessness and sex trafficking. And so every time you drink a cup, we have to buy another bag of coffee, and we're going to support a great cause. In September, we did our annual I Love the 757 campaign, and the goal was to love our area well by making a difference. And we totaled 300 hours of service, 800 meals, and 945 individuals and families were served through our September Make a Difference. In October, we continued our relationship with Feed One, an attempt to end hunger in our adoptive village of El Salvador. And we have a graphic that I want to show you that in just a couple months, this is what we've been able to do. We've been able to feed 237 kids, which is pretty cool. But there's a waiting list of over 100,000 kids that need food. But we've been able to put a dent into that and try to end hunger in one village. We've adopted a village as a church. We have 52 participants, and year-to-date, we've given $11,298. And so that's what we've been able to partner with Feed One, which is pretty cool. In November, we partnered with Operation Christmas Child and provided 260 shoeboxes filled with gifts for kids that are in need. And in December, we raised over $8,000 to support missionaries Chandler and Jamie Sharp. And can we just for a second, I want to make sure that you guys get this, that when we're celebrating, we're not celebrating, oh, look at us, look what we've done. All this is a God thing, that we've been able to provide practical ways to make a difference while at the same time maintaining our budget and paying for the needs that we have at this church. So can we just for a second give God some credit and praise for that? Can you guys give it up for him? That's pretty cool. So God did some incredible things in 2015 in the midst of difficulty, but Isaiah is not done. He goes to push us towards the future, and look at what Isaiah says. He says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Isaiah, what he's saying through God, that God is speaking through him, he is saying, listen, I've done some great things in the past, but I don't want you just to hold on to the past. I don't want you just to live in the past. I don't want you to just act like I'm a God of the past. I want you, in fact, to move from the past and to start thinking about the future, because God is about to do something in their life. And this something is something that is lost on us because we didn't live in Isaiah's day, and we don't live in the land that he lived in. Isaiah lived in the area, Judah, and I want to show you the terrain that Isaiah lived in. I have a picture of what Isaiah lived in. This is the area and what Isaiah's day and age would have looked like. So when Isaiah says that God is speaking and that God says specifically that he's going to make a way, which another translation would be a highway through the wilderness or streams in the wasteland or rivers in the wasteland, when God is saying he's going to do this, he's saying it, that he's going to do it in that land. Now, that is a land that you would have to have a lot of bulldozers and a lot of helicopters and a lot of money to build a highway through. This is a land that is not, it's not even acceptable to walk in. Most areas, even if they're there, because there's so many mountains, most of the mountains you can't even climb because the terrain is so rough. And God says, in the midst of that difficult circumstance, I'm going to do something impossible. I'm going to pave a way, a highway. And what we know, because we're on the other side of history, we know that highway that he was talking about was Jesus, that he provided Jesus to pave a way in the midst of this difficult circumstance, and that Jesus is the river through the wasteland. In order to experience something amazing from God, sometimes you have to go through some deserts, and sometimes you have to walk through some wastelands. And it's in the midst of difficult circumstances where we can see God provide. It is through difficult situations that God awakens our faith. And if we never were in a desert, if we were never in a wasteland where we were saying, God, where are you? God, can you provide? God, this is difficult. God, I didn't plan this. God, are you there? Can you help me? If we never face a difficult circumstance, we could never see God provide. And in the midst of difficult circumstance, God often awakens our faith and helps us come alive and provides highways and rivers through the wasteland. So to close, I want to give you some hope, some exciting, something new that I think God is doing in our church. In 2016, there are two goals that we have, and I believe God is leading us to do this, but these are going to be goals that stretch us. These are goals that I'm a little bit scared. No, it's not true. I'm a lot scared about these goals. These goals are going to stretch us, and we're going to see if God's in these goals and if God's going to make a river in the wasteland through these goals. Here are the two goals. Number one, the first goal that we have for 2016 is to plant a church. To plant a church. This section's excited. Thank you very much for that. Some of you are like, what is a church plant? I don't even understand. Well, let me just tell you, we were a church plant. We started with 60 people who helped start this church. And why do we want to start a church? Why is that something important? Well, statistics, there's lots of stats on it. But some of the statistics show that churches that plant churches are healthier churches. That when you spend all of your money and all of your time and all your people on yourself, you become incredibly insider-focused. But churches that send out, raise up new leaders, and send them out, it creates a need, and it creates some excitement, and it creates church health. And so we want to be a healthy church. We don't want to be selfish and just keep everything inside. We want to send some people out. And what I'm really excited about is another stat says that when you plant a church, what it does is it raises the awareness of telling people about Jesus, because you send out people who's now a smaller church, and they feel the need and almost the pressure to help that church grow. And then because we've sent people out from here, there's some holes here and some needs here. And so we invest in people and bring them in. And it's amazing to see what God can do through a church plant. And whether you knew it or not, Next Level Church was a church plant, and we saw God move. And so God might even be stirring up some of you to go help start this church. I don't know, but I'm excited about the future, and I'm excited about this potential opportunity. Our second goal that I think God's leading us to in 2016 is to start the process of expanding this building. To start the process of expanding this building. Deathly silent. That's a... There, you have a lot of questions. I know you're going to have a lot of questions. Let me just answer one question for you. No, we are not going to be doing a 12-week-long building program fund where we're going to wear you guys out. We're not going to do that. What we are going to do, though, is it takes about a year to even get through all the junk that York County has you go through. It takes a year before we can ever even get to a place to start even thinking about building. And so over this next year, we're going to see if God opens some doors, and we're going to try to raise some money because we're running out of space in this, especially in the lobby and in this room. And so our goal is to see if God will provide and open up room to expand this and to create a bigger lobby area. And we're going to see if God's in that. And those are two goals that scare me, but I love it because I think it's a highway in a desert, and I think it's a river in a wasteland. And so I'm excited for what God's doing, and I can't wait to tell you more about these. You're going to hear a lot more about it in the next handful of months in 2016. But I want to pray for us now. Would you guys close your eyes, bow your heads, and pray with me? God, we're just we're honored to be able to serve you. And we just ask, God, that you would just do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine in 2016. That through every difficulty that we will face, God, would you help us to remember that you're a God that provides and you're a God that delivers. And God, would you just stir up in us, God, a desire to love you? Would you just help us to love people well, no matter what their background, no matter what they believe? Would you help us to be a safe place for people who are hurting? Would you help us to be people who welcome those who are hurting and don't understand and who are struggling? And God, would you just help us to dream big dreams? Would you help us to see you provide? Would you help us to experience miracles that we can't explain away? In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website, nextlevelchurch.net, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.